tell you something good.
Yeah.
I'll use a good word. What's the word? What's the good word? Yeah. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. My most excellent producer, Brian Kelly's with me. If you want to call or text, say hello to Brian. Give him your best. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752. We're talking a little education policy of Joe Biden with my good friend and host of Civic Media's Busted Pencils, Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, which you can find every Monday through Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. Before the break, we were talking about words that annoy us. A little tangent, but a worthy one, I think, especially based on your responses, Wisconsin. Loved somebody called out the phrase, these ones. These is plural. You needn't say ones. It is redundant. We also heard a bit about this new phrase, which is, how you feeling today? Oh, I'm feeling mid. Which I think means fair to middling.
Yeah.
Chopped down for the millennial generation. I love it. Thanks, everybody who's been calling and texting with those fun things. Maybe we'll do a whole show all on word and grammar and syntactical annoyances. The English language is just rife with these things, right? Yeah. It's great.
Put it on the calendar. That would get into testing and materials and then words and annoyances.
Quick trip, and we wonder why kids can't spell. I mean,
well, we actually identified the other day, this is part and parcel why we don't have as much security breaches and fake AI, because they can't match the same type of idiocy that we speak with on the regular.
Yeah, you know, at least to date, generally speaking, you do know when you're hearing AI speaking English because it doesn't sound in the colloquial way that you and I and we all use. Thanks so much for hanging out a little bit more, John. I appreciate it. I wanted to give you the opportunity to address at least one of the things that you think Joe Biden has done a really good job in his first term about on education.
For sure, Maggie. And so here's the thing, and it's so important to remember, because education is a state right. So it varies a lot in our country from state to state. That said, there is federal policy that has had a stronger influence, I'd say, in the past 40 years than the past 100 or so in education. And there's a relationship, usually related to funding, around some consistency from state to state. But education, by and large, is a state right, and so it varies from state to state. I would say, and again, this is not being too overly critical of Biden and the administration, it's been mid for education. It's been mid. But I can say that because also it's really important that education is preserved as a state right. And that is also to say, like, state to state, it's varied. Some of the really great things that have happened, and they've been turned up a little bit, especially in the last year. It was slow out of the gate, but come on. I mean, there was a lot of things to address.
Yes.
All right. Education is always one of those top priorities, but it was slow out of the gate, but it started to really heat up. You know, it turned up the heat, the Biden administration did, on some things that I think are important. And one of those is, you alluded to it in the form of higher teacher pay.
Mm.
I think really in the way that the Biden administration is, advocating for, because that's the most federal policies can do, is can advocate that states strongly consider this, is that we need investment in early childhood education. And that's a big one, Maggie. And I pointed that out because I want Biden's administration to continue to do that.
Yes.
Right. And for our states to listen, because you mentioned it in a really thoughtful way. You said pre-K all the way through 12th grade.
Yes.
And we often forget about the earliest years our children are in the care of others, because most of us, all of us parents out there, listener, you know, you're like, you're working. Got kids in either a daycare or a learning facility, or you know, those early years are paramount to their success. They're not the only place. We talked about that before too. Like, every great teacher loves to meet kids at different grade levels and bring them along. Bring them along and get them together, because we all learn differently.
Yes.
That's one thing that's important to remember. But the early child, And Maggie, you are probably not shocked, but this is a major labor issue. So I also want to see Joe Biden's administration to continue to advocate for a fair living wage.
Yes.
For all of our laborers, right? We talk about all the time, bus and pencils, like we're teachers, we're blue collar scholars.
Yes. And
there's nothing white collar about being a teacher.
Well, and, right? And this gets to, you know, there's this intersection, sorry to hop in, Johnny, between student debt and teachers, yes. Right? You have to have a college degree to teach in virtually every state, I think, in order to become certified to teach in public schools. Maybe some of our southern sister states, maybe not.
State to state, it's easier in some states to get your teacher's license than it is your driver's license.
But here in Wisconsin, it costs you a boatload to get the 4-year degree to become a certified teacher. So there's this nasty, the labor economics aren't working really well because the value proposition, at least in states where a 4-year degree is required, is a bit dubious, right? And that's a challenge for so many. I think Joe Biden's efforts to address the student debt problem, to make those investments, specifically in some of the pandemic response bills that he proposed, forwarded, and got done to try to shore up, especially early childhood education, were absolutely critical. Listen, Johnny, thank you so much for your time
this afternoon.
Lots of fun. We'll have you back real soon. That's
absolutely anytime.
Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, co-host of Civic Media's own Busted Pencils, Educated Educators Talking Education, available to you every Monday through Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. Thanks, Johnny.
Betcha. Have a good one.
We're going to keep it rolling, bring on my very next guest and more of a co-host, I'd say. One of the most reasonable men to ever talk about politics or run for an office, Tom Paulsiewicz, former congressional candidate, Navy veteran, and small business owner. Welcome back, Tom. Happy to have you.
Hey, glad to be back. I love the subject, by the way. I mean, education, right? Because one of the things I talk about is the only way a Donald Trump can be elected is if you have a generally uneducated population. And the numbers keep skewing more and more toward, you know, blue collar versus white collar. I don't like those terms. I like, you know, do you have enough critical thinking or not? And it really, and I love what Johnny was saying about early childhood education. That's the core of teaching people how to critically think.
Absolutely. And I think one of the interesting dynamics that's happening now in the political discourse is I know people who are extremely highly educated, but reality stupid. I know people that don't have a higher a post-secondary degree who are brilliant and really deep thinkers. It seems to me in many ways that there's been this drift or almost branding from a populism standpoint coming from the right that is trying to appeal by lumping together and sort of stereotyping people that work really hard for a living and might not have a college degree. Frankly, when I speak to my friends that fall into that category, they're offended by it.
Yes.
Right? Don't talk to me like I'm stupid. Don't try to sell me a line of baloney. And I think collectively, I have a lot of respect for my fellow citizens. I think people can be challenged enough and really get past the emotional appeal, right? Like, this is the test. The first time, I get it. It might have felt a little good to punch the ticket for old orange guy, right? But now you know, yep, there are still people that are never going to be reached because there's just other things going on. But I think the average everyday worker is not someone who's so easily fooled. What are you hearing when you talk to people, Tom, on this sort of stereotyping that I think is being sold, or at least sold as some kind of a branding for the MAGA party? I don't get it.
Yeah, on one hand, it's completely unfair. But on the other hand, grifters need targets in order to extract money. And generally, those targets are people who have blind loyalty or don't understand some other basic things that they need to understand. And not because they can't. It's because they haven't been given the opportunity or they haven't been educated on how to learn. Because you know that I teach adults all the time. And it's, you know, teaching adults is no different than teaching anyone else. It's, can you take a step back? Can you challenge your own beliefs? And then can you re-examine and say, is this based on what I think I know, or is it based on what I know? And I would prefer to vote for somebody that can wave a magic wand and solve all the problems than somebody who tells me it's hard work. But I also live in a world of reality.
Yes. In other words, you don't. I think a lot of people that are voting for Trump these days don't want their bubble burst or popped. By the way, the word pop is the secret word of the day on the Scotty Summer Text to Win. The word of the day, the secret word is pop, P-O-P, the thing that Flatlanders call soda when they're in Wisconsin and we all look at them.
That's just the wrong thing to say. I'm just sorry. That's what I think it's perfect north. That's the word, since we were talking about word pet peeves. Pop is one of mine. I love that pop is the word, even though it's stupid.
Fancy Brian, everybody. The word of the day is pop. Text P-O-P via the Civic Media app. You will be entered to win all kinds of cool summer getaways. Door County, Lake Geneva, Wisconsin Dells, Crystal Lake. That one includes a pontoon boat rental. Don't worry about your gas. We got you covered. We got Brewers Club level tickets. All of the things. The word of the day, P-O-P, pop. Now, when you text it via the app, you're going to get a reply text. It has a link. Click on the link and you will be magically entered to win again. Who doesn't want a 2-for-1? That's popping. I hate that word. Tom, we were talking word peeves before you came on. We'll hear what
I heard.
We'll see what Tom Paulsiewicz's word peeve is after we take these next quick messages. Get your texts in via the app. The word of the day is pop. You'll be entered to win some fabulous summer prizes here on Civic Media's Scotty Summer Statewide Contest. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. You want to ask Tom or I a question? 855-75-CIVIC, the old-fashioned way, on the phone. 855-75-CIVIC. We'll be back in just a moment.
Tell me, baby, tell me that you love me. Yeah.
Tell me something good.
Oh, tell me
that you love me. Me fail English? That's impossible.
On the air with me right now. No offense, gentlemen. I should call you gentlemen.
I can resemble that sometimes.
Oh, you resemble that remark. Yeah.
Tom's twice the gentleman I am. He can do it both for me.
And I still can be a boy. Yes.
That's Brian Kelly. The next gentleman you heard from is Tom Paulsiewicz. They're helping you and I have a nice Wednesday afternoon here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Maggie Dawn. We are running a statewide Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. The word of the day is pop, P-O-P. Go get the Civic Media app for free from your favorite app store. Text in that word. You will be entered to win getaways to Wisconsin Dells, Lake Geneva, Door County, Crystal Lake. That one's with a pontoon boat, Brewers tickets, all kinds of cool stuff. Again, the word of the day is pop. We've been talking about education, all kinds of things that organically are coming up. Just wanted to give a couple of shout outs to a few texts that I thought were really important. Chris texting in from the 608. My mind always goes here. What if the cure for cancer is locked inside of the head of someone who doesn't have access to or can't afford higher education? Or I'll add, someone who's neurodivergent. Education is no good if people can't afford it. Public education should be quote unquote free. For real. Every dollar we spend there will come back to us tenfold over a lifetime. 100%. Tom from New Berlin also shouting this out. Artificial intelligence is like Spock. And we English speakers are like Spicoli from Fast Times at Ridgemont High. At least we know we're talking to AI now. AI will probably evolve to sound like Spicoli in a few years too, and then we're really up the creek without the paddle, as they say. My guest this half hour and co-host, Tom Paulswitz, former congressional candidate, Navy veteran, and small business owner. Tom, I wanted to ask you today and kind of do some reflection, maybe hear from some of our callers, 855-75-CIVIC, on this particular issue. And that is, I'm just appalled by the recording of Samuel Alito at this gala benefit for the Supreme Court Historical Society. What it reveals, in my opinion, is someone who is so ideologically and religiously rigid that they no longer even have the veneer, the fig leaf of the impartiality, of the objectivity, of the fairness that is required by Supreme Court justices. The thing that worries me on a second level is the sort of arrogant presumption of righteousness. One of the reasons when I talk to really incredible lawyers, judges, Supreme Court justices, or elected leaders that I think have had incredibly successful, meaningful, widely respected careers, what I hear from them consistently is a level of humility and openness to different perspectives, different worldviews, different political viewpoints, different religious ideas. And what I heard from Alito was a certitude that his way, his religious beliefs, his political viewpoint is the only defensible right view. Now, I don't agree with a lot of what conservatives say, but I hope that it has come through to all of you that I am open to being challenged, to being pushed, that I will change my mind if facts and information lead me to that place, that I realize the possibility that I can be wrong. And what bothers me in this moment is that, and I think we've been here for a while, is this complete and total closing of the mind, closing of the heart, closing of the belief system, closing of the GOP to any challenging or different approaches to the world, to religion, to politics. And then the coupling accusation that if you disagree, you're evil, bad, corrupt, and must be removed from American society.
Yes.
And this stands in sharp contrast when you ask regular people, hey, what do you want more from your elected officials? Well, I want them to get stuff done and compromise. Well, you can't compromise with someone that thinks that.
Right.
What the hell is going on, Tom? How are we here?
Yeah, and I've been thinking about this one a lot too, but here's to me what's happening right now is the quiet part is being said out loud. Right. So I'm a big fan of history. I read a lot of history. This is not the first or the last Supreme Court justice to have this kind of viewpoint. You know, and if you look at all the cases that have been settled over the history of our country, there have been times where the majority had this kind of viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not surprising. I think, though, that I think we talked a little bit about this a couple weeks ago, is there's this norm that people used to keep that stuff under wraps. But now those things are being said out loud because there are no consequences currently for someone to believe or think that, because they are now so-called protected. And in fact, I think you had talked about Alito's wife many times, like this is, you know, she's looking forward to when, and I tend to agree with Brian's viewpoint on this, that she'll be unshackled by the new administration because they'll just not do anything about it. But the other part of this is there are people still in our society today that do not believe in equality under the law. And that has been and probably will continue to be for a while, but they are not the majority. The majority believes in equality under the law, and we have been increasing the size of that tent over every single generation. And every generation expects that to continue to become a bigger tent, which it should be. So to me, when I look at that, those are the two competing things that are happening. And the next question is, okay, is there a way to go back to those old norms where the quiet part stays quiet? I don't think so.
Mm.
The next part is what do we do about it?
Yeah.
And to me, that's the harder thing, because even if Donald Trump does not become president, it doesn't mean
right.
that everything's fine and dandy.
Right. We've
there are still going to be people at every school board meeting, at every event who are talking about banning
screaming
things.
About Johnny's two dads or whatever it is.
Yes.
Right.
Trying to put ideas back in a box, thinking that that's the way to do it, when history shows over and over again that never works. So I think and that's why I love talking about education, because I think the only way to solve it is more and better education, but somebody's got to pay for it.
And they're trying to drain the public schools of the money. Yeah. I mean, that's what we got going on.
But also there wouldn't be, you wouldn't be able to hire people if you had to educate them all.
That's one of the biggest gripes from all. Yeah. It's one of the biggest gripes of every employer I've ever worked for. It's, oh my gosh, we bring people in, we train them, we get them educated up to where they got to be, and then they go take that and go somewhere else. My special guest this half hour and for maybe more is former congressional candidate, preternaturally reasonable man, Tom Polsiewicz. Don't go anywhere. Your farm update is next. The secret word of the day is POP, P-O-P. Text it via the Civic Media app and be entered to win all kinds of cool stuff. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
We got to start eating baby.
What about them?
The two youths. No, wait. That's different.
Youth guys.
Got youth guys with me. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I've got co-host Tom Polsiewicz with me, one of the most reasonable men to ever run for any elected office in the state of Wisconsin, and of course, producer extraordinaire Brian Kelly. Before we get back to the substance, the nuts and bolts of what we're talking about, don't forget, it is the Scotty Summer Getaway Text to Win Statewide Contest here at Civic Media. This hour, up until 4 p.m., you can text the word POP, P-O-P, via the Civic Media app, which is free from your favorite app store. You'll be entered to win Brewers Club-level tickets, weekend getaways, Wisconsin Dells, Door County, Lake Geneva, Crystal Lake. We even cover your gas, which is amazing. When you get the reply text confirming that, in fact, you have been entered to win, go ahead and click on the link in that text. You'll be entered a second time. Again, the magic word, the secret word. This hour is POP, P-O-P. Just text that on in via the app. Let's talk to one of our very regular callers and listeners, Mark from Prairie du Sac. Did you have some thoughts or comments this afternoon? Are you there, Mark? It's me, Margaret.
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead, Mark.
Okay. Yeah. Then I'm not particularly disturbed about how that we received this information, because if I remember, one of the slimy O'Keefe boys, actually took down Acorn by carefully editing, video and tape recordings, that because he wanted to bring them down. But I mean, we needed to hear this stuff, and it just is shocking to me that Alito is saying this nonsense. What is, that the whole religious thing just kind of really bothers me. I mean, what amazes me is the schism that was healed between the Protestants and these Catholics, where I remember back in the 80s, I mean, the Catholic Church was still considered, the Church of the Antichrist by a lot of these Protestants, and now they're more or less joined at the hip with this common view of, that, well, we'll just establish, this Christian United, Christian America, which simply does not exist. I mean, I've pointed out in some other programs that in the Treaty of Tripoli, I mean, I think that Adams signed and Congress actually ratified, the United States is in no sense a Christian nation.
Well, and you just need to ask Chief Justice John Roberts that question, who at the very same event where Justice Alito was recorded saying, we have to return the country to godliness. There's going to be winners and losers. We can't compromise anymore. Chief Justice Roberts said very plainly, we're not a Christian nation. I've got Jewish and Muslim friends that don't think that's the case at all. So to Mark's point, Tom, and this is kind of what we were talking about, the idea of a pluralistic society where you can have people of all these different beliefs, which includes what they think is sexually moral, right? Within long-standing boundaries as science evolves, right? Sexual morality, interpersonal beliefs, how we get along with one another, right? Our expectations about what government should be doing, that we're going to all have very different ideas about this. We're going to maybe worship different gods or not worship at all. But then in a democracy, that's the point. It seems to me like the entire GOP is like, no. That's not the point anymore. What we want is one belief system that we get to decide and everybody else gets kicked off the island.
Yes, driven by people who that's the way they think everyone else should be. And if they can't convince people, they would rather use the law to make people believe it. You know, the challenge has always been and always will be, there are other people who want you to believe certain things, but we're a melting pot country, and not just in race, not just in creed, not in everything else. We are a big tent that believes that everybody has a right to their own viewpoints, and that's the point of democracy. But you're also talking about a party who doesn't necessarily believe in democracy. So they are actually trying to undermine democracy because they cannot win at the ballot box.
But this is what it boggles my mind. I love talking to you about it. Everybody else out there, you want to join in 855-757. Here's what boggles the mind. It is anti-democratic. Democracies are pluralistic. They are built so that a whole lot of different people with different beliefs are like, hey, here's how we're going to organize this government and everybody gets a say. And there aren't winners and losers, right? There isn't us and them. That is a fundamentally anti-democratic idea. And yet, people that I see sort of off the edge of the pier, way out in the beet patch, that's a Northwood saying, way out in the beet patch from the MAGA party are basically, yes. No, I'm a patriot. I'm the only one that actually knows what America's about. But what you're saying is not at all about or consistent with American founding fathers' democratic principles.
Yeah, the vision, right? And I think the challenge has always been, right? We have this vision of who we are, and then we have the reality of who we are as a country. And there's always been a gap, you know? But I feel like, and this is just the way I interpret things, you know, I feel that we've been moving that gap to a closer and closer realism to the vision, but we always have to fight for it. We always have to be on guard for people who don't believe in it and will use the ballot box to take it away from us. So this is not anything new. The challenge is, and that's why I love that you were talking about education earlier, if we do not invest in education to help people understand the realities of what are happening, we're going to have the same thing over and over again, which we've had for a while.
Well, and I think education has to also start to include actually, how do you consume political information? How do you consume online information? How do you source things? I wanted, Brian, if we can, let's do a little, these little cuts. We've had an incredible 3 weeks, right? The former MAGA president criminally convicted, a sitting president's son criminally convicted. And yet the MAGA party's like, oh, it's rigged, except it's not. And the other guy's getting tagged too. And Republicans also win elections. So I don't know what this is a series of Fox hosts. I'll identify each in turn, who about 2 weeks ago were like, the entire legal system needs to go. And then all of a sudden, oh no, legal system's great. Let's start with good old Judge Jeanne Pirro. This is Fox News hosts. Perfect. In saying two completely different things within a 3 week period.
This is a new era in America, and I think it goes against the ilk of who we are as Americans and our faith in the criminal justice system.
And then...
in the end, this jury of ordinary people from Delaware were not intimidated by that family. And they recognized that this was a clear-cut case and that clearly no one's above the law.
You can't make it. What?
No, you can't.
Does her face hurt after? I don't know. I keep expecting someone's like genetic sequence to just like misfire and they melt down like the Wicked Witch of the West and the
Wizard
of Oz.
How could you possibly misjudge this?
So badly, Judge Jeanie, you hypocrite. Okay, this is some guy. Did we ever figure out who this is?
No.
Okay, this is some other commentator on Fox. Brian Wait, and I tried.
I took an hour tracking this guy down. I still can't find him.
So this is... random old white dude a couple of weeks ago. We'll listen to this first.
This is a very political exercise, and you have to say that it accomplished what it set out to accomplish.
And then...
but I would say this about Judge Nureka. I think she ran a very fair courtroom. She ran a very fair trial.
But where is she from, old white guy?
Yeah, we didn't find out where she's from, and we're like just
Minnesota.
Look where she comes from.
Okay. And how many death threats did she get from Democrats?
Zero.
And who was trying to dox the jury, and who was swatting all of the people involved in Hunter Biden's trial? No one.
Of course, your favorite and mine, Laura Ingraham, 2 weeks ago.
I guess we all need to shop at Banana Republic from now on, because that's what it feels like. Yeah, a Banana Republic.
Yesterday.
For years, the Bidens have been able to escape any legal accountability for their sleazy, corrupt conduct. But today, their luck ran out. At least Hunter's did.
I think what we need to do, Brian, is take all of these hosts and just sub in, like, the Bidens with either you or I clearly saying Trump.
Yes, because it would be perfect,
right?
Because it would be exactly what they need to say. But here's the other thing.
Dom, if I can, just one comment.
So my favorite part of that the latest Trump campaign statement on Hunter Biden's trial was, and we wish Hunter Biden well.
Yeah, at the bottom of it.
which is just fantastic to me. Like, yes, all right, that proves you're human after
all. Jesse Waters, this Mensa member, 2 weeks
Power
ago.
Power is all they love. And they're willing to do anything to cling to it. They're willing to destroy the rule of law. The Republic has been wounded by weak lawyers and talentless political bloodhounds.
Alina Habba. And Jesse Waters, yesterday?
It gave me a little boost of confidence in the American legal system. Although they still have a lot of work to do to win me back.
I'm sure they're working on it right now.
Yes. Like, oh, we got to get that Jesse Waters back. Hey, Jesse, did Samuel Alito saying that there can be no compromise and we have to return to a godly nation and basically crush the opposite, does that give you a little boost of confidence?
Right.
And last but not least, next up on the Mensa waiting list, Greg Gutfeld.
I believe that there was a conscious collusion of allies that came together. Ooh. It's pretty obvious, with a private strategy to eliminate a common shared adversary.
Who are these? The swamp. Who knows? Unnamed people. Okay, Gutfeld yesterday.
Hunter's going to jail so Joe doesn't have to. And when he comes out, he'll be rewarded for his loyalty like a made man in a Biden crime family. This is a distraction from the influence peddling and the kickbacks.
They have no evidence to support them. James Comer has been beating the table for 2 years about it. Still nothing. What? Wait a minute. Hunter Biden took the fall on a gun that he bought, that he signed because of his addiction, that he lied about on the same form. But that's somehow Joe Biden.
Who is not a government operative.
No,
he's not paid by the government, doesn't work for his dad. None of that, all that stuff has no bearing on this case at all, but somehow it's connected.
A couple of texts. Jack from Merrimack said that a Trump supporter was interviewed and then posted online, if I wanted to live in a democracy, I wouldn't be voting for Trump. Well, at least it's honest. It, yep. You understand. That yep. is accurate.
Right.
Apparently, Cam from Nina is telling us that the Trump campaign's statement about the Hunter Biden conviction that included that statement wishing Hunter Biden well was retracted and then reissued without the "we wish Hunter Biden well" part at the end of
it. He doesn't deserve it. We're taking it back.
No, because being a human doesn't mean, you know, no, we don't. Yes. We don't hope the human that is Hunter right. Biden continues his yeah. recovery.
Insane. Insane that you can't, that you have to retract the only human thing you say. The only thing that has any ode of humanity to it. My yeah, goodness.
In case you thought we were going to be kind to one another for a moment here, let us correct the record. No well wishes for anyone unless you agree with everything that the MAGA president, former president, has to say. We'll listen to some of what he has said about what he wants to do in his next term after these very important messages. The word of the hour is POP, P-O-P. Text that to win in the Scani Summer Statewide Giveaway via the Civic Media app, and you may be on your way for free, courtesy of us, for a fabulous weekend getaway or to a Brewers game. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be back with my special guest, Tom Paulswitz, after these brief messages.
Come on, show a little backbone, will ya?
On your feet. I don't think that's the first line, but
yo, power, I know come that. On, move it.
Move it.
Shake that body. Shake that body for me.
I hope you're shaking in your car or wherever you're at. It's a beautiful Wednesday afternoon here in Wisconsin. We're coming to you live from downtown Waukesha. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I have other good news. Not just that you can shake your body to one of the best dance tracks of the early 90s.
Get yourself some roller skates. We are.
Oh my gosh.
It is an all skate.
It is an all skate.
It is an all skate.
Would it shock you to find out either one of my fabulous gentlemen co-hosts this bit of the show, both Tom Paulswitz, former congressional candidate, and my fabulous producer, Brian Kelly, would it shock you to find out that I was a skate guard?
Not at all.
Had the skate. Could do the crossover, the skating backwards, pom-pons, the shotgun, the whole thing. Now, the problem was, by the time I was 12, I was basically 6 feet tall. So you put me on roller skates, there was no... I had to be a skate guard, could no one to couples skate with. It's like 8 feet
you
tall.
You could really whip someone around.
And I would say you were fairly intimidating, would be my guess.
Well, I'm so glad that that's dissipated completely so that we can have great conversations. Other good news for you all is that the Brewers are now up 5-4, I believe. Yes, 5-4.
Oh, thank goodness. Yes.
Brewers beat the Blue Jays. It's a final 5-4. A wonderful winning pitcher, Tobias Myers. Well done, crew. Love to see a little Brewers afternoon W. Tom, it's famous sound now, but we're going to listen to it because I'd like to get your response. We're going to listen to the former MAGA president telling us all what he's going to do if he becomes president. Again, let's start with a little of the pardon talk, shall we, Brian?
If I run and if I win, we will treat those people from January 6th fairly. We will treat them fairly. And if it requires pardons, we will give them pardons.
They were treated fairly. It's called the legal system, which convicted your political opponent's son just a few days yesterday. Was that just yesterday?
Yeah, I had to double check that. I had to double check that it was yesterday morning.
There's just a little bit of news happening these days. I mean, what? Fairly, yes. That's the legal system. If you want to say that the legal system's unfair, doesn't work at times, that's fine. But then I'd like a suggestion of what else we're supposed to use other than burning our political opponents at the stake and such. And Trump in Nashville on June 17th in case... Oh, June 17th, 2022 also said this.
If I become president someday, if I decide to do it...
If I decide.
I will be looking at them very, very seriously for pardons.
Seriously.
Very, very seriously.
Very seriously. If I decide to do it. Yes, that's usually how decision-making works.
Right. Should I be president? I don't know.
Let me ask myself.
I say to myself...
I says to myself...
The smartest person in the room.
Yes. This is not my beautiful wife. Wait, what? What? All right, this is Donald Trump on Hannity. You'll remember this one. Let's listen to the full version. We'll listen to the full version. We'll listen to the short version. We'll listen.
He says, you're not going to be a dictator, are you? I said, no, 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 other than day one.
Other than day one. Why is this okay? Why? How can anybody listen to that and say, this is the guy I want? I don't get it. What do you think?
Yeah,
Tom?
I don't know if you read this article though, but it talked about how Trump uses language, and it's non-committal. So like that first the first clip, he said he's going to treat the January 6th people fairly,
right?
Which you just said they already were, so he might not do anything different. The thing that is most interesting about that clip is he's not sure if he's running for president. He said, if I run for president, I'm like, okay, when are you going to make up your mind on that one?
Right.
But the language, though, is meant to help people use their own opinions about what he's really telling them, even though he's not telling them anything. Because he's not really saying anything. It's just that you can use your own viewpoints to carve into it and go, here's what I think he's saying.
Yeah, that's I think, a really important observation. Trump speaks in such syntactical riddles and rhymes with such lack of specificity that a listener can project the emotions and the meanings that they want to onto him.
Yes.
The thing that I find very helpful often is to actually read what Donald Trump has said as opposed to listening to it, because he's got this weird cadence. And then you have every time I listen to Trump on the headphones for the radio stuff, I always have to imagine him doing the accordion. I mean, I'll treat them fairly with the accordion hands, squeeze box, right?
Yes.
The accordion hands.
This weird look on his face and the just kind of his mouth looks like an anus. That's all I'm saying.
It's above the line here this afternoon. Let's do we have time for the long version? Let's listen to the long version. This is Trump on Hannity, December 6th, 2023.
Under no circumstances, you are promising America tonight, you would never abuse power as retribution against anybody.
Except for day one.
Except
for
one?
He's going crazy. Except for day one.
Meaning?
I want to close the border and I want to drill.
That's
drill,
not
a,
that's
drill.
That's not
oh, no.
That's not retribution. I got
I'm gonna be you know, he keeps we love this guy. He says, you're not gonna be a dictator, are you? I said, no, 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 other than day one. We're closing the border and we're drilling, drilling, drilling. After that I'm not a dictator.
So that,
okay.
That,
but that, does he even know what the word dictator means?
No.
Final thoughts, Tom Paulsowitz. You get to have them today.
I appreciate that. You know, big picture wise, you know, going into this election, you know, one of the things I'm excited about in Wisconsin is there is a competitive race in every single assembly district, and every single assembly district should be calling on debates. There should be debates where people are debating policy and debating facts and debating about the direction of the country. And that should happen in Wisconsin. It should happen across the country.
Talk about the stuff. That's my guest, Tom Paulswitz, former congressional candidate, Navy veteran, and small business owner. Thanks so much. You'll hear Tom with me, Maggie Dawn, every 2 weeks here on the Civic Media Radio Network. That's going to do it for me today, folks. Stay tuned for the Devil's Advocates Radio. They're up next. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me, but it is always better when we stand together.
Possibly misjudge this.